Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Let's talk about being led by the Spirit, walking in the perfect will of God as it pertains to each individual believer in each individual situation. We must navigate under the control, if you will, of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Father, we stop to pray right now and ask you to help us to increasingly be led by the Spirit. Lord, you said as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us your wisdom, Lord, in every situation and being available to us, that we can call upon you and you will answer us and show us great and mighty things which we know not, in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, thank you for tuning in. Going to be a short message, I believe, and just something that pertains to and is foundational and something every one of us deals with, where we face a juncture. And don't we just love James 1:5, the blessed promise of the Lord? Notice, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally or generously and freely, and upbraideth not. I like that. When we go to God, He's not going to say, did you not know that, or try to be arrogant toward us or disturbed because we dared approach Him about something that He thought we should know. That's the kind of parent that turns away their children from them, and that's not our Heavenly Father. He doesn't upbraid us when we go to Him to ask wisdom. Another barrier that God is breaking down right here for us, when He just throws that in there, that God is not going to rebuke you because you come to Him asking for wisdom. Let me say this. In our parenting, it's important to develop. You're the parent. You're not the best friend. You've got to discipline your children, but they're going to get older. And many of you have older children. And we want to have a relationship with them and not do things to, you know, the Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. And our Heavenly Father is the perfect example of such a good father. Jesus said, come unto me. You can come to me. I will in no wise cast you out. Anyone who comes to me, John 6:37, and then Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and so on. Again, Matthew 11:28-30. So if we come to God in times of needing His wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him, or shall be given him. Aren't you glad that God gave us that promise? When people come to ask for prayer and stuff, I don't pretend to know exactly what the will of God is for their specific life, but God knows. And so we can always pray James 1:5, Lord, give this person that you're praying for wisdom, your wisdom in this situation, in Jesus. There are certain things that are foundational standards of the Word of God. We're not talking about whether or not somebody should walk in the love of God. That's always the, but we're talking about maybe somebody has a job opportunity and they're praying about whether or not they should leave their current job, or somebody that is praying about who they should marry or things like this, or what direction they should take in such a part of their life. And they're going to need the wisdom of God and to depend on seeking God Himself and walking in His wisdom. So, simple point here, we see in times in biblical history where God tells His people to stand still. Then other times we see God telling His people to pursue the enemy. For example, God tells His people to stand still. That was the case when Israel was escaping the Egyptians, as God was leading them out of Egypt. And that was type of salvation. God translated us out of the world, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians 1:12-14. So as the Israelites were escaping Egypt, they stood cornered at the Red Sea, and the enemy was quickly approaching. They even said that the roar of the chariot wheels, Egypt, the greatest army and nation in the world at that time, was quickly approaching, and they were shuddering in fear, and they stood there at the Red Sea, trapped, if you will, if God didn't come through. Notice what God tells them. Exodus 14:13-14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Notice in this situation, with the enemy involved, this is pertaining to things you and I face on a regular basis. Satan is our enemy, and he has many human agents. And so we must walk in the wisdom of God. We must walk in the will, in the Spirit of God, as the people of God were doing here. And they sought the Lord, and God told them in this particular to hold their peace, and that he was going to do it all at this point. And also, here's another instance in 1 Samuel chapter 30, where the women and the children of Israel were stolen away by the Amalekites, the enemies of Israel and enemies of God. And David sought the Lord, and God answered him. In this case, God told him something that was different, it seems like, in this situation, because God knows all things in every situation. We don't. So that's why we seek him, and we seek to be led by him, because, and by the way, let's be careful not to try to impose upon people we think they should do in a situation. We've got to leave that up to God and pray for them to be able to hear God and just do what he says, because it's not always the cookie cutter stand still and do nothing, like it was when the Israelites were hemmed up against the Red Sea, and God says that the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace, and be still and know that I am God, would mean to wait on the Lord and get his wisdom. And yet in this situation here in 1 Samuel 30, when the Amalekites had stolen, kidnapped all of the women and children, David and the men were absolutely distraught. The men even came against David and were imposing a threat to kill him. So David put on the ephod. That's something they used to put on in the Old Testament to get the will of God in a situation. We don't need that now because we're vessels of the Holy Spirit, temples of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us, and we're led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, etc. So it says this in 1 Samuel 30, verse 7 and 8. And David said unto Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. That was to seek, so David could seek the will of God. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, or this battalion or group of enemies, that is the Amalekites? Shall I overtake them? See, God sought the Lord. Now, David didn't just take it into his own hands to go do it. He sought the Lord, which is so important. We're to pray about everything, the Bible says, that everything by prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known unto God. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 6. And he answered him. God answered David, said, pursue. One word, pursue. Then he says, this was the promise, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover. So notice the difference here. In this situation, God told David to pursue the enemy, go after him. And when the children of Israel were at the Red Sea, again, God said, stand still, and you'll see the salvation of the Lord, which we see that in other places. I believe 2 Chronicles 20, we see that. So it's not always the same situations, and therefore, it's not always the same answer. And one of the things I wanted to talk a little bit about is to be careful not to be cookie cutter, if you will, with God. Not to act like, there's a lot of people that go to see on one truth to the exclusion of the rest of what the Bible says. And that's why I love James 1:5, one of the many reasons. We've got to ask God. He invites and instructs us to come ask him for wisdom in every situation, because it's not always going to be the same answer. It's not always going to be stand still, I'm going to do this for you. And it's not always going to be pursue the enemy. There are times in my life, maybe you guys can relate, I'm sure you can, where I feel like I've got to go after the enemy. I'm not mad at them. I'm not holding any evil heart against them. But I sense that I'm supposed to help the enemy, if you will. Sometimes I believe that's what's going on, to obey God, first of all. And I think that people need to be brought to accountability for certain things so that they don't continue to do those things to others and to destroy their own lives and the lives of others. Perhaps that's what God has in mind. But it's not always sense that I'm just to let the enemy go and don't judge them and let God deal with them. Many times, and probably most, that's what I sense. But there are times when the Lord has me speak up, pursue to, if you will, the enemy, as was used here in the Bible in 1 Samuel 30, verse 7 and 8, where God tells David to pursue the enemy when David sought him. And God restored to the men of Israel their wives and their children unharmed, thank God. David sought the Lord after this crisis situation of women and children being stolen from them. And as New Testament saints of Christ, we don't, as I said earlier, we don't need the ephod any longer. No, Jesus has come, and upon returning to heaven with his Father, sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in each of his disciples. In fact, Jesus said, that's so that we can be led by the Spirit. Jesus said before he went to the cross, he said, it is better for you that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit inside to live inside every one of you. And that's what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. And at the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, the Spirit of God comes into a person immediately upon being saved. That's the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing as being born again. Titus 3, 5 through 7. So he makes us, he renovates us, if you will, and gives us regeneration and puts his Spirit in us. In fact, if the Holy Spirit is not in us, Romans 8, 9, we're none of his. We're not a child of God. So when the Lord does a work and he makes you a new creature in Christ by the washing of the blood of Jesus, and by filling you with his Spirit, well, to be led by the Spirit. And if you'll seek God for his wisdom in every situation, he will lead and guide you surely. And be careful of the voices of others. Sometimes we, in our youngness, we seek wisdom, probably having a good motive, the wisdom of the body of Christ. But ultimately, you've got to hear God speak to you. And we've got to be careful not to be controlling of other people's decision, which is something we see in human relationships. That's a bunch of witchcraft. Undue control, exercise over somebody else and over their life and their decision. Sometimes the best thing we can do, the safest thing for sure, is just pray with them. Now, if somebody's saying, I need wisdom on whether or not I should do this sin, that's obviously not the will of God. So we give them the word in that case. But when it's a situation, as I mentioned earlier, of a life decision or a situation where they're being attacked, then what do we do? Well, first thing we need to do is let our request be made known unto God, to seek the Lord as David did when the crisis and the women and children were kidnapped. And we have a Father that will in no wise cast us out, Jesus said, and he won't upbraid us. So we can come to him and ask him wisdom. And also the Lord specifically instructs us to seek his face for this wisdom in all matters of life. And he promises that he will answer and will not rage. Just a quick encouragement to you here, saints, and encourage you to learn these scriptures. James 1:5, probably being the theme scripture here, about if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And please pray for the support and the fruitfulness of the ministry outreach in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.